Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The recent surge of precipitation brings to mind an ongoing concern over water management issues. On today's program, we'll be talking about what we can do to help in that management process, increasingly important to the environment. But first, an interdisciplinary study titled For the Sake of All has been looking at how the health of the region's African-American community impacts the quality of life. The study is funded by the Missouri Foundation for Health, the St. Louis American newspaper, and the St. Louis Beacon, and includes faculty research from Washington and St. Louis universities. The fifth and final brief in the study is out. It looks at chronic disease and follows earlier examinations of how segregation affects health and how that in turn affects mental health, school dropout rates, and impacts economic and educational opportunity. In studio to talk about this latest brief are its authors. Bettina Drake is Assistant Professor of Surgery and Public Health Sciences at the Washington University School of Medicine. Keith Elder is Associate Professor and Chair of the Department of Health Management and Policy for the College of Public Health and Social Justice at St. Louis University. Jason Purnell is Assistant Professor at the Brown School of Social Work at Washington University and lead researcher in the For the Sake of All project. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Jason, good to have you back again for the fifth time, but not the final time. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Let me start with you and ask you to remind our audience of why this study was necessary.
The study is necessary really to expand the conversation about health outcomes and health disparities to include what we call the social determinants of health, some of those factors that you mentioned, segregation, education, economic opportunity, economic status, how those factors are impacting the health outcomes that we see in our region and what we can do about them.
And basically what you've determined, given the knowledge that I now have of the study, is that health is a major issue and is certainly determinative.
Absolutely. Yeah. And people's level of educational opportunities, where they live, the amount of income that they have, all of those things impact their health outcomes in ways that people may not think of.
Well, now that you've made the determinations that you have, what happens now?
Now we are in the process of developing and preparing our final report, which we'll be releasing in May at a conference at the History Museum. May 30th will be the date of that release. And in this interim period, we're also briefing local policymakers in the city and the county, and also hoping to brief state-level policymakers as well.
Have you had any indication that this has been a receptive audience for you?
We're optimistic about the receptivity of it. We're already on the mayor's calendar for March, and we'll be talking to him and his cabinet, and we're setting up other meetings as well. So we're looking forward to a fruitful conversation.
Good. Well, let's turn to the latest brief then. And Bettina Drake, I'll turn to you first. Chronic disease. Give me some sense of what you've found, kind of an overview, if you will.
Definitely. So oftentimes we look at disease outcomes, when we'll think about disparities in terms of which group has higher rates of a certain disease outcome compared to another. But we wanted to take this opportunity to look at kind of what has our progress been over the past 10 years or 20 years, and what strides have we made so that we can focus on what's been working and see if we can continue that. So what we wanted to focus on here was heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, which are three of the most common chronic diseases, not just for African Americans, but all racial groups, and see what have the rates looked like over the past 10 years.
Keith, how did you go about determining this?
Well, this was a combination of looking at existing data in St. Louis City, County, and in state, to look at these rates, how they've changed compared to the Healthy People 2010 objectives.
Uh-huh. And basically, what have you found?
Well, we found that heart disease is trending in the right direction, that we met the goal. St. Louis City, County, and State met the goal for heart disease reduction by, I think the goal was 24%.
Yes.
And the others are trending in the right direction, such as cancer and diabetes. So again, that goal was satisfied among African Americans for the city, county, and state.
Bettina, I was under the impression that that cancer and diabetes were not trending so well.
The rates for, if you mean in terms of The rates of cancer are improving. The disparities between blacks and whites in cancer is not closing. So the gap between the rates for blacks and whites for cancer is not closing. So the rate of decrease among blacks is a little bit slower than the rate of decrease among whites for cancer. But what we were looking at is how do the rates in St. Louis City, County, and the state of Missouri compare to kind of the Healthy People goal. And a Healthy People is a program that was established in 2000 that basically sets benchmarks for where do we want to be in the next 10 years. So it started in 2000, and they set goals for 2010. And in 2010, they set new goals for 2020. And so we looked at the rates in 2000 and 2010 to see what was the percent change in heart disease, cancer, and diabetes for blacks, for whites, for everyone overall, and whether or not we met those goals. So for heart disease, both blacks and whites did meet the Healthy People 2010 goal of a 20% reduction in heart disease mortality.
But there is still this gap that you mentioned. Keith, why the gap?
Well, I think that's quite interesting to say why St. Louis City, County, and State have gaps. But if you look at the essence of disparities, inequities nationally, there are many reasons. One, it's where people live, where they work, how often they access health care, and overall health prevention overall. And certain groups historically have had more difficulties managing chronic diseases, preventing it than others. So again, one thinks about this comprehensively, one can understand why the gap still exists. When you think about the economic inequities, where people live, work, play, this all goes into these factors are determinants of chronic disease, morbidity, and mortality.
And Jason Purnell, how does the findings in this particular brief match with your earlier studies?
Well, they map on directly into what we've been saying in terms of people's access to resources within their neighborhood. So one of the factors that we know largely drive chronic disease is health behaviors like physical activity, eating a healthy diet, smoking. And where you live largely is determinative of whether or not you have access to things like fresh fruits and vegetables, whether the sidewalks in your neighborhood are walkable, and whether you feel safe. Some of the other data that Keith and Bettina pointed to in their brief was that a third of people in the city of St. Louis, African Americans, don't feel safe in their neighborhoods, and a large percent don't feel that they have access to fresh fruits and vegetables, or that it's not easy to get to them. So all of these factors interact and are interrelated, as Keith was saying.
One of the questions I've had about your study is it's a regional study, St. Louis City and County. I'm just curious as to why it did not extend to the Metro East.
We wanted to start on a smaller geographic footprint, and some of the policy implications of intervening in another state also make things a little more complex in terms of the Metro East being in Illinois. But this is certainly just the beginning of the work that we're doing. But we did think it was important to encompass both the city and the county.
Mm-hmm. Bettina, let me come back to you with regard to the cost of this situation overall. What does it cost the community overall, and the African-American community?
Well, this is definitely an area of Jason's expertise, so I can probably field this question to him, but it is definitely a huge burden to both individuals as well as companies when you think in terms of the cost of healthcare in order to manage chronic diseases, which is why prevention would be a great tool in order to reduce just the incidence, just the new cases of the diseases, so we don't have to worry about progressing to treatment and management.
But absolutely. In a single year, $1.1 billion spent on medical care for those three chronic diseases, diabetes, cancer, and heart disease, and about $400 million was spent on African Americans in St. Louis City and St. Louis County. So a huge outlay. What we say in the brief is that's like paying for three Edward Jones domes every year in medical care.
That's a pretty astonishing figure.
Yes.
Keith, were you surprised by your findings?
No. Well, I think I was surprised initially that St. Louis, that we met the 2010 objective for the reduction of heart disease. These have been some pretty, intractable issues for quite a while. So considering some of the historical context of St. Louis in the county, it did surprise me that those goals were met, considering some of the outstanding circumstances and factors that that exist in this city and county.
I'm not quite sure I understand, Bettina, why the goals have been met with regard to heart disease, but not in the other areas.
Well, I think it's important to note that even though for cancer and for diabetes the goal wasn't met, there has been some progress. So there has been some reduction in the cancer death rates for blacks and for whites. Not so much of a reduction for diabetes, but I think we should focus somewhat, give some credit to the fact that there has been some progress in reducing these death rates for heart disease and cancer and diabetes.
What has happened, do you think, to cause this progress?
Well, there are a number of community organizations that we all are aware of within St. Louis that are very, very passionate and very active in the community, both in cancer and in heart disease. For example, with cancer screening, there are a number of community organizations that will make sure that women are screened on time, that they get detected early, which can significantly reduce their chances of cancer mortality. So if we get people organized and excited about it, which there are a lot of community organizations in St. Louis are, I think that contributes at least in some part to the progress that we've been seeing.
Jason, it's one thing to be excited and organized. It's another thing to have the resources available to deal with it and make that progress. What about that component?
Well, I think for all of its controversy, there is a great deal of resource in the Affordable Care Act for prevention, for providing medical homes for people, for giving us the resources and the infrastructure to track whether or not people have had their blood sugar tested or whether or not they're up to date on their cancer screening. So a lot of that is coming online. The resources are there. It's whether or not we're going to access those resources.
I don't know if you want to use the phrase coming online in connection with the Affordable Care Act. That's another story entirely.
Hopefully
all of that is being worked out. We have to take a break now. We'll do that. We'll continue our conversation in just a minute. We're talking about health issues in the African-American community and the For Sake of All study, which has come out in five parts, basically taking a look at various aspects of this situation and how it impacts education and economic opportunity. My guests in studio are Jason Purnell, from whom you just heard. He's with Washington University, and he's the lead researcher in this project. Also with me in studio is Bettina Drake with the Washington University School of Medicine, and Keith Elder is with St. Louis University. They are the authors of the most recent brief. We'll come back and continue our conversation in just a moment. If you'd like to be a part of it, come on in. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org, or we'll take a tweet as well at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation with regard to health issues in the African-American community in St. Louis City and St. Louis County and how those issues can affect educational and economic opportunity. We'll continue that conversation in just a moment, but here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio and the Beacon Newsroom is following today. The first bill being considered by a Missouri House committee this year would prohibit the payment of union dues from being a condition of employment. The legislation, known as Right to Work, is scheduled for a hearing this afternoon and is a top priority for Republican House Speaker Tim Jones. Illinois lawmakers are already considering changes to the state's concealed carry law. They've introduced proposals to lower the legal age for carrying a gun and to increase penalties for taking a gun into a school. Illinois residents have just started applying for concealed carry permits. And the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department is expected to release 2013 crime statistics later today. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation about health issues in the African-American community. With me in studio, Bettina Drake of Washington University School of Medicine, Keith Elder with St. Louis University, and Jason Purnell with Washington University. Jason, let me come back to you. You've mentioned the Affordable Care Act, and it's really just starting to roll out now. What do you see in it and its potential for dealing with some of the problems that you've identified and studied in your five briefs?
Well, I think specific to the city of St. Louis and the state of Missouri, the expansion of Medicaid would be especially helpful for low-income residents of the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County, enabling them to access more health care resources. But there are other pieces of the legislation, as I talked about, in terms of encouraging this model of medical homes where people are given some of the preventive measures that Bettina was mentioning before. They're able to access health care prevention before it becomes these chronic diseases, these very expensive and deadly chronic diseases that we're dealing with.
Well, if we can believe what we read, and it's been very consistent, the Medicaid expansion is pretty much a non-starter here in Missouri.
It does seem to be that way, and all I know is what I read in the newspapers, but it's critically important, especially for the safety net here in the city, for the most vulnerable populations here.
Keith Elder, back to you with regard to the study deals with St. Louis City and St. Louis County. Are there appreciable differences between the populations in these two areas?
Yeah, St. Louis City versus St. Louis County, St. Louis County tends to be more fluent in the city. So resources are always important as it relates to access of health care and preventive services. As Jason mentioned earlier, and I think that's one of the essence, the good things about the Affordable Care Act, Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, is that it actually emphasizes prevention, actually places in many hospitals are moving out of the realm of patient by patient, more population-based health care that includes the environment and community where patients live, so which is very important in addressing chronic disease.
You know, one of the things I have here in my notes is that African Americans tend to develop chronic diseases earlier and have greater complications from them, Bettina. Why is that?
Well, that's why prevention is so important, because if we can target those preventative behaviors early on, then maybe we can reduce that early onset of cancer and heart disease and diabetes. Tackling those factors that cause the disease to develop in the first place is kind of where we really should be focusing our efforts.
Does this take us back, Jason, to what you were talking about before with regard to resources in the city, with regard to nutrition and other health, access to other health issues?
Absolutely. I think I may have misspoken earlier. It was the data point that I meant to cite was that a third of African Americans in the city of St. Louis find it difficult to buy healthy foods in the city of St. Louis. That's troubling. And if people don't have access to those resources, and almost 40%, only 40% in the city consider their neighborhoods to be safe. If you can't walk your neighborhood and you can't find fresh fruits and vegetables, it's very hard to engage in physical activity and to eat a healthy diet.
In terms of numbers, I wonder how many people we're talking about, 100,000? Probably something close to that, given the city population.
Something like that, yes.
Well, let's take a call. We have Debbie calling from St. Louis City. Debbie, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Hi. You there?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. I had originally called. I wanted to mention that I've been following the study for a long time and listening to you guys, you know, when this is on. And there's a couple of things that actually came to me while I was listening to you talk, and I thought, well, great, I can't talk about all that stuff. But one thing I wanted to mention was when they talk about access to health care, you know, things like doctor's visits, anything for chronic illness, all these things, they talk about the cost. And to me, the problem with all of this isn't necessarily just the fact that people it's not just access to health care. It's the extremely overblown pricing on healthcare. And no matter, you know, you can have Medicaid, you can have Medicare, you can have any insurance, but it doesn't really matter because the prices of pharmaceuticals, especially if you have a chronic illness, are outrageous. I mean, they're completely outrageous. So when it comes to tax, you know, when someone has a taxpayer-based method of paying for their, you know, their costs and their health care, it really, really, really affects the taxpayers, which is probably why there isn't better legislation on these sort of things, especially in Missouri. But this is, you know, that's something that has to do with the hospitals and the pharmacies and things like that. And it doesn't seem to me that I've ever heard anyone saying that we should be, you know, putting in legislation to rail in costs of these, of medicine, of care, because the prices are just outrageous.
Debbie,
completely outrageous.
I think we have your point, Debbie, and thank you so much for the call. And that goes back to some of the things we've talked about before. Bettina, any comment you might have to what Debbie has been talking about here?
Yes, Debbie, we do understand your point. Cost is a major issue, and I think when we talk about the cost of health care, I mean, we're thinking about not just the cost of treatment, but that includes the cost of the pharmaceuticals that you were talking about. When people are diagnosed with a condition, they have treatments and they also have ongoing medications, and that is kind of built into when we're talking about access to care. I mean, being able to receive your treatments, being able to receive your medications on time and to take them on a regular basis is all part of access to care. But maybe Keith or Jason can speak to kind of the policy perspectives that she was mentioning.
Keith, want to try it?
Yeah, trying to address cost has always been an issue because you have to think about the physicians, the hospitals, et cetera, and all want to help improve the health of Americans, but that's more of a complex issue. But I think one issue that we can think about that helps reduce costs is when prevention. Prevention is one of the best. If you don't want to have to use drug X, B, prevention efforts can help reduce that. So prevention, I think, is what we're saying is the floor. Is foundational to even impacting cost as a long-term method, a route to reducing cost if we get the prevention part right.
Jason, anything you want to add to that?
I would only add that we have seen at least some moderation in the rate of growth of healthcare costs. Whether or not you can attribute that to the Affordable Care Act or not, obviously the White House would like to, but we have seen some moderation in the rate of growth of healthcare.
A final question for you as time passes by so quickly here. Given the five briefs that are now out and in the public, were there any surprises in those five briefs that you're totally unexpected from your perspective?
I don't think there were totally unexpected surprises. One of the numbers that stands out for me, though, is from the third brief when we talked about mental health, where mm-hmm. African Americans make up a third of St. Louis City and St. Louis County population, but about $96 million of hospital cost and ER use for mental health treatment, which isn't an efficient or an effective way to treat mental health.
You've thrown some pretty big numbers around today. I mean, some of them are quite stunning and quite astonishing.
They are. That's almost half of the cost of mental health treatment. So
wow. Okay. Well, our time is up, but I want to give Bettina and Keith an opportunity to put a final line on this. Anything you want to conclude with?
I would just reiterate the importance of the preventive efforts in order to reduce chronic disease outcomes, but also to be a little optimistic that we are moving in the right direction. And so
that's good. That's good news.
And I think that what's critically important is access is absolutely important to the medical, to health. But what happens outside of the medical encounter, most of our health is generated outside of the medical encounter. So that's where we get into public health services, I think, which are vital to chronic disease management.
All right. We have to leave it at that. I want to thank you all so much for being with us and bringing us up to speed on this report. And we'll look forward, Jason, to hearing from you and yours in a couple of months when you begin to kind of bring all this together once again with our public officials. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Professors Purnell, Drake, and Elder for being with us. Coming up, Rainscapes, how they and you can help with water management issues. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.